You have to understand your audience. You have to know who your people are. I know your members, your prospective partners, get a good understanding of their needs and interests, and that'll help strategize and connect potential sponsors with their prospective clients.
Hi, I'm Christine Shaw, CEO and President of Naylor Association Solutions, and I'm your host of the Association Advisor Podcast. We'll learn from successful association executives, partners, and clients on how to grow membership engagement and non-dues revenue to create a thriving, prosperous, and value-driven association. I invite you to join me in keeping informed and, most importantly, keeping your association profitable. Our goal is to leave you feeling inspired, more confident, and more knowledgeable. This is the Association Advisor Podcast. Hi, and welcome back to the Association Advisor Podcast, brought to you by Naylor Association Solutions. I'm your host, Christine Shaw. Today, I have not one but two amazing guests joining me. Stephen Stout and Katie Marquardt of the Texas Society of Association Executives. Stephen is the executive director for TSAE. He joined the association's leadership after being an esteemed member for years, during which he served on committees and the board. Katie is TSAE's marketing and communications director. Since joining the association a few years ago, she's made giving members a voice a priority through its many communication platforms. Our conversation today dives into the power of storytelling and the impact of having a good motto. We'll also talk about strategies for how to create and leverage media and content to drive engagement while delivering value to existing members, potential members, and advertisers alike. Stephen and Katie also host a podcast together called Better by Association, so I'm looking forward to hearing more about their experiences with that. Hi, Stephen and Katie. I am so delighted to have you on the Association Advisor Podcast today. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Christine.
Thank you for having us. We're thrilled to be here.
Yeah, so this is great because you guys are podcast pros. So speaking of this, like us, you also have a podcast, Better by Association, that you host together. Fantastic. And TSAE also has a highly valued member magazine, Association Leadership. So you're both familiar with storytelling and how to create value and engagement through storytelling with both your advertisers and audience. So why does storytelling work so well in each of your opinions? So either one of you can start off and let's hear from both of you on this.
Sure, absolutely. Thanks again for having us, Christine. It is a pleasure to be on here today. I'm so glad you bring up storytelling. It is such an important part of what we do. And it's an element that we try to kind of bring into every one of our communications. We feel like the storytelling aspect really does kind of make all of our communications more personal. You know, we're wanting to have that personal connection with our member partners and everyone like that. So the storytelling really does kind of give a glimpse into who our community is and what we kind of stand for. That's really important to us. And in fact, there's actually some like kind of data-backed research that we found that speaks to storytelling and the power it has over people's emotions. So emotions allow people to kind of connect to the story, to us, and also emotions is kind of where people make their decisions. So there's a lot of thought in this area of storytelling and why it's so important when it comes to your communications and our overall marketing plan. I would also say storytelling is kind of so important because people remember stories. You know, they might not remember facts about your association, like how many members we have or, you know, what kind of scope we're dealing with, but they will remember our stories and who the people are that they hear from. So for all of that reason, you know, we really do feel like storytelling is kind of like at the top of all of our communications.
Yeah, great, Katie. And you make a great point about it being backed by research. We see that over and over again. And they teach a lot of that when you're giving presentations or public speaking, always start with the story, you know. Stephen, let's hear your thoughts on this topic too.
Yeah, I mean, Katie is obviously our expert, internal expert on this, but we always have sort of a belief that everyone has a story, everybody, every single person, even those that think they don't. We always get challenged. You know, when we started our podcast, people were asking us if we were concerned that we would run out of content. That was everyone's concern. And I was like, we have 1,035 members. So we have 1,035 stories to tell. So I've never worried about that. Yeah. And it's funny, creating a platform and creating an opportunity for people to tell their stories I think, is the role we play. And I think we've done it really well so far. Luckily, it's gone really well. And what I've loved about storytelling is I think it's drawn us closer to our membership and our partners, getting to know more about them and getting to learn about them, not just on the business side of things, but kind of just who they are and where they come from and what's sort of supported them coming to this space. You know, we've heard some incredible stories from members who, as you know, Christine, a lot of people don't go to school to be an association executive. You kind of like stumble into it. So to hear people's pathway as to how they stumbled into it has been pretty incredible. You know, we had someone who was responsible for bringing a battleship to Hawaii. We had someone who was studying to be a priest and wow, just somehow ended up into association. So I think storytelling is really powerful, like Katie mentioned, and I feel like it really does help people align themselves with your organization. And it's an easy thing. You know, we all stress about what marketing tactics we can do to get people's attention. But, you know, if you let people tell their stories, like Katie mentioned, and apparently the data shows that they'll just follow. They'll come to you.
I think you make a great point about that human connection, right? Because at the end of the day, we are all people, and it's people who make decisions and people who make things happen. I share that sentiment too, Stephen. I had previously hosted a podcast and it was centered towards women, but these stories I would hear, and just you think you have your own story and then you listen to all these and it's just amazing. And it develops a sense of community, which is so important in the association space as well.
You're right, Christine. What's funny to me too is some of these people I've known for years, but I've never heard these stories before. It's like, how has it not come up that you were responsible for bringing a battleship to Hawaii? Like, how's that never
exactly
come up in conversation? Yeah. So it's been thrilling for Katie and I both. Every time we do an episode like this with people like you, we just leave thinking like, wow, I had no idea they did all that. Or that's where they came from, or that's how they found the space. So it's just so intriguing. And I like Katie said, I think there's a lot of power in storytelling.
Yeah. You know, you're no stranger to the microphone, Stephen. So we have to bring up your background as an FM radio DJ. So story and music, those are two fantastic things that people really get connected to.
Yeah.
So do you feel like that experience as well enhanced your understanding of advertisers, audience engagement, and how to bring that out in people?
I think it's gone hand in hand with the association experience, right? So working at a radio station, you know, I worked in a long time ago, maybe different now, but it used to be very transactional, right? You buy the ad, we read the ad, we produce the ad airs, our relationship is done. Whereas I feel like this space is more about creating a community and creating an opportunity to understand what the partner's needs are and things of that nature, being flexible to adjust to what sort of they're trying to figure out from our niche audience. But I do feel like it's helped me. It has come full circle. And it's bizarre. If you had asked me when I left the industry back in 2002 that I'd be doing this, I would have laughed at you saying like, no, I'm done with that now. But like you said, music tells a story and people tell stories and intertwine. They're the beautiful thing. So being a radio DJ, you're alone a lot of the time with a little microphone, a little room. So you get used to talking to yourself quite a bit. But also you learn that there's a connection with people out there, that what you're putting over the airwaves or what you're pushing out, people have some sort of connection to, because like you said, they're humans on the other end of the earphones and the speakers. So people identify with a song or they identify with music, but the same way they identify with things that we do, sort of like events or research or even magazine articles, people just seem to identify and connect that way. So back then I would have never put the two near each other. I'd be like, oh, they're so different. There's no way that someone from that industry can come to this industry. But I think that's absolutely wrong. I think they're so interconnected and I think they're very similar. So yeah, it's been a sort of a full circle moment. It's kind of interesting and weird to step back and sort of see that play out. So yeah, it's been cool.
Yeah, one of these days we're going to have to get your favorite soundtracks. You'll have to share some of that.
Oh,
really
easy.
Get inside of your head.
Any John Hughes 80s movie, let's go.
Stephen has the best playlist.
Oh yeah, I bet. I bet. So Katie, let's hear your story. I mean, tell us a little bit about your background prior to working with associations and what part of your journey led you to where you are today.
So I grew up, my dad was a director of golf for several golf courses.
Ooh, fun.
So the idea of a membership and the community that comes with it has just kind of been something I grew up with. And I didn't necessarily really even notice it, you know, until I did get into this industry and we have members, you know, and getting to know them and bringing them together and seeing those relationships build. You know, we are a people business, you know, and seeing these relationships happen is just something that I really connect with. So I went to school for communications and went on the marketing, advertising and graphic design route. So I did have my own marketing agency and majority of my clients were associations. So, you know, I have a background in event planning and sales. And so working with them came very natural. helping them, you know, develop their messages and their tone. So that kind of worked out. Whenever I saw that this opening came up with DSAE, I thought, what a wonderful thing. You know, it kind of brings together all of these elements.
Yeah. I mean, those are such fantastic skills to put to work specifically for association. And, you know, you brought up the golfing and the community. So my significant other, I like to say he golfs as though it's his job to golf. But, you know, what's important about it, it's that community, right? That actually segues nicely into my next question, which is the motto for your association is better together. Mm-hmm. So that is true and at the heart of what engagement's all about. So tell us a little bit more about this motto and how you're bringing it to life in terms of leveraging the content you manage.
Yeah, Better Together has really kind of taken off. And it's something I think our staff, our members and partners, like really kind of like it resonates with them. And it really does feel like it speaks to who we are. We use it everywhere. And it's kind of what I was saying before, just like that personal element. And kind of like you said, you know, there's people behind this curtain that are promoting these events or resources or things of that nature. So we'd use it highly in social media. You know, we're again in the magazine. One thing that we've really focused on is kind of making that magazine about our membership, you know, like having photos of our events in there and interviewing some of our members, or we'll put out a question to our members that we feel like, you know, we get a lot of great responses for, and we'll publish that kind of content. So it's a step we've taken in the last couple of years to really kind of personalize that magazine and show the faces of our members. And that to me is us better together. You know, it's showing this community.
I love that you do that, especially the photos at events and seeing people, because being able to see that just jumps off the pages and people can really relate, especially if they see their friends or themselves at specific events. It also creates the, hey, I need to go, the FOMO, right? I wasn't there. Exactly. I want to be there. And it helps build that community even stronger. So Stephen, now you've shared that Better Together is a principle you live throughout your professional life. Share more about the significance this has had on you and how it influences you as the executive director of TSAE.
Sure. And Katie's being super humble. Her coming in is what made that change. It's just the magazine's been phenomenal, a really good reflection of our membership. But for me, as far as Better Together, you know, it's played out in my entire association career, really, if I really sat down and thought about it. Coming into the space, not knowing anything about associations, absolutely nothing, meaning that I had heard of like the big ones, like American Heart Association, because I think I did like jump rope for heart as a kid.
Yeah,
I thought that was what an association was. They just do jump rope fundraisers. Yep. So learning more about that, there's such this gamut of space, this whole secret industry, if you will, out there that once you discover it, you kind of fall in love with it. But as far as Better Together goes, you know, I only advanced through my association career because the support of the people around me. There's no way I could do what I do every day and even be here today if it wasn't for managers and leaders and volunteer leaders, members that have sort of raised me up on their shoulders. Because honestly, there were times when I was like, oh, I'm going to go back to radio. I want to do this for like a little bit, then I'll just go back to radio. And then I started meeting the members of the association I worked for previously, and I started seeing the sort of mission and the goals. And I was like, oh, we're making good people better. Like that's the whole like bottom line.
Yeah.
That spoke to me internally a lot. Like this is kind of a place I'd love to like work and figure out how to advance in this space. And even my hard managers that like, if you had asked me during the time reporting to them, I wish I wasn't reporting to them. I feel like they really pushed me and molded me into something that really, really helped me be where I am today. And then speaking directly to like being the executive director of TSAE, when I went for the executive director role in my head, I thought, you know, I know so many icons in the space. Oh, so many icons that share the title of executive director and present CEO. And in my head, imposter syndrome, right? I kept thinking like, am I really aligning myself with those people? Like those people are icons. Like we go to them for all the answers. And then getting this role and getting to know all those people in the space and talking more and more with them, I just realized one day one of those icons called and asked, can I get your advice on something? And I nearly fell out of my chair.
Wow. Yeah, that's that moment.
Why are you calling me? I don't know. Like, and so having that conversation with them, realizing that, like, you said it perfectly, Christine, they're human too. They want to collaborate. They want to ask questions. They want to figure things out, stuff they've never navigated before that maybe we have or that we have some insight into. It's just really humbled me. And of course, it just speaks to who we are as an organization, because I see it at all of our events. People are talking to each other in the hallways. Someone will say like, oh, I'm going through, I don't know, an association management software change. Has anyone done that? And you'll see these people huddled in corners comparing notes about the pain points, the successes, and things like that. So I love that we serve as a connector, and I love that we serve as an opportunity for folks to just be vulnerable with each other, because like we mentioned, association execs certainly have a lot of spaces to go do that.
Yeah.
And we hope that when people come into TSC, they feel that sort of pull to each other about supporting and raising each other, and not in a competitive way, but more in like, I want to see you succeed so we can all succeed, right?
Yeah. You know, I love how you articulated all that, because from the moment you started answering, talking about, it's not just about me, it's about the team, it's about leaders. And now what you're saying too, is it's about the community of other executive directors or thought leaders in the industry. And I think when we can get in the mind space that there's room for us all to succeed, yeah, and we are better together when we do that, I mean, that is the essence of that motto and the why around it. So that's amazing.
And it just seems to fit beautifully with what we try to do every day and what our people do every day, right? And their own industries and organizations they serve. They just want to make their members better. And it's just this sort of huge cyclical thing that we all keep moving forward. And it's just really, really beautiful when you get to see it happen in person.
Yeah. And the other thing I like that you said, Stephen, is that reaching out to ask others for thoughts, suggestions, and advice. All too often, I think we we're supposed to figure it out on our own.
Yes.
And that's not the case. It doesn't make you any less good at your job. It makes you human, and it brings that connection again. So
to speak to that, Christine, that's a misconception I had coming to the number one role in an organization. I was assumed the one at the end of the hall had all the answers, and we're just here to help them. Until I became the one at the end of the hall, and I was just like, oh crap, I don't know what I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm still expected to make these decisions, so I'm going to need my team's help on that. So it's been an eye-opening experience for me as well.
Well, thank you for sharing all that. I want to pivot a little bit to non-dues revenue and the strategy around there. So we know from working with associations that bringing on advertising opportunities and sponsors is a huge and important way to generate non-dues revenue. Share with us a little more about how you built out this strategy successfully for TSAE, please.
Yeah, so creating sponsorship and non-dues revenue strategies can definitely be time-consuming. It's a process, and there's never a sort of a straightforward answer because it changes probably every day. I really think if someone were to figure this out and had the silver bullet, they'd be very, very rich. So that's a challenge to some of your listeners, maybe someone who feels more gold to do that than us. But one thing that doesn't change, of course, is that you have to understand your audience. You have to know who your people are. I know your members, your prospective partners, get a good understanding of their needs and interests, and that'll help strategize and connect potential sponsors with their prospective clients. Essentially, all that to be said, Christine, that building and nurturing healthy relationships is absolutely key. You want to create a wide variety of offerings, making sure these are something that for everyone and every level. Always leave room for growth, meaning that, you know, someone might have an idea that they want to put to you as to become a partner, and maybe you've never thought of that before, and be flexible, and maybe you can entertain that notion. Maybe you can't, but there may be opportunities to do some piece of it. You know, I'm connected with a lot of non-dues revenue experts and thought leaders, and I know there's a lot of hate for picking the menu and just, I'll take that sponsorship and that sponsorship. They really want you to be more like an Amazon, thinking outside the box. And while in a perfect world, we would love to be Amazon, there's time constraints, staff capacity. There's a place for people who just want a booth, right? There's an absolute place and they bring value to their space. But I say all that to encourage folks to just not be so married to the menu, meaning that you may have a menu, but someone may come in like, I like that, but what if I did this on top of that? Right. So flexibility is really key. And then of course, highlight your unique benefits. Make sure you know what value you bring to the table, because I would refer to it as like a dating, right? So like you're going on a date and they're talking to you about all the things they have to offer. Don't forget, you bring stuff to the table too. And you have to know, like, this is the benefit I bring to this relationship. Sometimes it works out. Sometimes it doesn't. And that's okay. You want to be sure the benefits are measurable, too. You want to make sure that, like, once you have something that you offer someone, you're able to report back what success looked like. And sometimes that's really important to set that stage. For instance, if you're doing an engagement for an event, before the event, you want to make sure you've outlined on both sides what success looks like.
Yep.
Because you don't want to go into that thinking that for you, success is 10 people came by and spoke to them. But for them, success is like 700 people came by. It's like, well, our conference is only 200. So if your bar is 700, we should talk about that. And then, of course, reevaluate regularly. One thing I love about the team here is that we're incredibly innovative and collaborative, meaning that every year is a little something different. We always try to push our envelope. And I think I used to think it's because we were an SAE and we had this sort of expectation to be innovative and different. That goes out to everybody. I think everyone tries to make sure reinventing the wheel every time. And that can be struggle and tiring too. I mean, don't get me wrong. being creative can be exhausting, but
yes, it can.
But when you have a collaborative effort amongst a team, like it's not just one person's job to be the innovator, it's a lot easier. And so our community is sort of set up for that space. So I think those are some strategies how we approach non-dues revenue and partnerships with that. And it's been so far pretty successful for us. You know, we've really reimagined our offerings in the past couple of years, and had a lot to do with the staff that came on board at the time after COVID. So what I appreciate amongst the team, and I think that's important too, is that everybody has a voice in creating those opportunities. It's not just one person's role and responsibility. We push back, we challenge each other. We're a small team of five, so we have to collaborate well or we're going to die. So I love that we're able to do that. And I encourage anyone who's in that space to make sure you're getting outside input from not just your own perspective, but others as well.
Now, I have a saying that I just learned that I can use with my team when they're selling. Don't be married to the menu. I love that.
I love that. Yeah. Don't be married to the menu. Yeah.
And for all my single friends, I'm going to tell them, remember what you bring to the table.
That's right.
Well done, Stephen. Well done. Katie, anything you'd like to share? Because you have an event and creative background. So love to hear your perspective as well.
I think the most important thing to keep in mind is the audience, right? So not just your sponsor, you know, but also your member, you know, like you want to know your member needs and have your sponsors be able to answer those. And you want to know your member enough to where they are a good fit for your sponsor or vendor, or, you know, whatever partner it is. So, you know, if those two things aren't really making sense, it can be kind of awkward for your people at the event, you know, like they might be having conversations they don't want to have. Like knowing those two sides and, you know, kind of really thinking through how you can make the right connections if it's there. I think that's the most important part, is to really just think through the audience and your intention and what their goals are, and, you know, making those things come together. Ultimately, that's just kind of like an overview, but I think that's just the goal always.
You know, there's another thing I learned recently, which I think is great. It's just so obvious, but anytime you're producing something, whether it's content or event or messaging, is make the audience the hero of the story, not you. And so often we talk about us and we forget, like, you've got to relate to the audience and make it about them. So I think that's spot on, Katie. Thank you for sharing. Now, either one of you or both of you can answer this. If an association doesn't have what you have, a magazine and podcast, you know, in terms of those communication pieces, can you share some other ways to start building engagement with advertisers and members that have worked for you in the past?
Sure. I mean, we utilize social media quite a bit in this area, you know, to let people know what's going on, to celebrate, you know, things that happened, both with members and partners. We like to thank a lot of partners in that way. So there's definitely an opportunity to utilize social media, tagging, you know, everyone that's involved, sponsors that are involved. And so, yeah, on the social media side, even if you are going to make a post that does have, you know, some sponsors involved, kind of giving them a heads up on the front end that it is happening and coordinating a little bit on, you know, when you do make that post, having that engagement right away, it does help with the algorithm and it will get more views on that sort of thing. So it is something I know a lot of people use, but social media can really help. You know, one other thing that we do, of course, is emails. We do a lot of email marketing. We try to really segment our membership to where they're just getting the emails we think that they want. And also a newsletter. We do a monthly newsletter, and there's an opportunity there for having any content in there sponsored, but also it's just getting, you know, up-to-date information out to your members. So those are all some pretty basic communications.
But those are good examples, because what we've learned too, Katie, in our research is that, like, LinkedIn, for example, is the number one social platform in the association space, and the engagement is really strong on there. Mm-hmm. A lot of people early on in social media marketing was like, oh, you know, that really doesn't work. But it really does, especially to your point, if you're on the right platform and with the right audience. And on newsletters too, now there's so much personalization out there, not just in segmentation, but the personalization aspect. And we're all humans and we all like things personal, and that's for us. So I think those are great suggestions. Thank you for that. Stephen, any thoughts you'd like to share?
Yeah. You know, a couple of things that Katie mentioned that I think were really interesting. One of the highest posts we got last year was a picture of the staff loading the U-Haul.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. There was nothing fancy about it. You know, we're going to our annual convention, but we were sweaty and gross, and we posted it, and it got one of the most likes posts we had the entire year.
Yeah.
So it goes back to your storytelling piece, right? That we're telling a story. Everyone, that usually our people do what we do, so they can identify with, like, oh yeah, we love the U-Haul too. We get real sweaty and gross as well. Look forward to seeing you guys. So it really speaks to people. It really does. And then one of the things we've heard recently from a member, talking about email marketing is that they got an email from TSE and we got the best compliment you can possibly ever get from a member or a stakeholder that said, wow, TSE just gets me.
Wow.
Oh, okay. Box checked. We can all go home. Like, that was amazing.
I love it.
Speaking to a couple of other things, though, you know, a couple of things that we try to do is thought leadership. If you have someone in your space that may be an expert that's on your team or that gets asked to speak quite a bit, you can't imagine how much free marketing that is. If you get asked to speak on a panel, if you get asked to speak at an event at a sister association organization, I encourage people to take those opportunities because you have no idea who's sitting in the audience, and the exposure is usually free. Like, they'll push out that you're speaking, you get to share that you're speaking, you take photos of the thing, and it's connected us to a lot of interesting industry folks that maybe we would have never come across otherwise.
You know, also, Stephen, speaking of the thought leadership, again, you know, writing articles that we can post in the magazine from our members, like, that itself is also being a thought leader. And again, on the social media, if you're able to kind of like post some articles or just kind of give your opinion about a lot of like hot topics in the industry, people will follow you and look to you as a thought leader. And then they'll start looking at all the other things you're doing. So I think speaking at an event, of course, amazing. You can write, you can, you know, blog, and all of those things kind of elevate that.
Absolutely. Stephen, I love the piece that you shared around photos, because we learned that as well. And as I'm obsessed with my social media analytics, and every time there's a post with a photo about the team or me or whatever, it's like just through the roof, and you're like, oh, wow. So that's a really good suggestion. And I do love the whole speaking, because making sure you're out there, it's free marketing and it's engagement and thought leadership is so important. So those are great suggestions. Well, I certainly learned a lot about marketing, better together, engagement. This was a fantastic episode. What I'd love to ask each of you, if you have a recommendation on a book that our listeners can read coming up on summertime reading so they can learn more after the episode.
I'll go first, because I was just bragging about this to Katie that I finished it, actually. A book called Multipliers by Liz Wiseman. It is an incredible book. I'm late to the game. It was published in 2017, and it only came across my desk in January of this year. But it really talks about, we have all worked for those leaders where you come in the room and they just sort of deflate you and take out your energy and maybe don't inspire you as much. Some of us are lucky enough to work for people who also inspire ideas and move them forward and collaboration as well. And because especially leaders are sort of challenged with trying to innovate more with much, much less nowadays, I think Multipliers is a great book to sort of read and understand that, like, how you can encourage your team to be a collaborative spirit and be that leader that maybe they need to help them take them to the next level. Because, you know, you usually have experts in your team and sometimes they just don't have a space to speak up or have an opportunity to feel like they can. And this book sort of helps with that. So I found it was very cathartic for me and very like affirming that we might be doing things right here a little bit, but also a great learning tool for any leader who's looking to sort of bring their team into sort of that collaboration spirit.
I am definitely adding that one to my list. That sounds great. Katie, how about you?
I said the same thing when Stephen told me about that book. We were talking about books earlier, because I don't actually read a lot of books in this area. What I do read and what I can share is, it's an email. It's called Marketing Brew.
Oh, I love that.
The media company Morning Brew, but they have a marketing focused email that I read. And it just kind of keeps you up to date with trends in the marketing industry, what people are doing, what's working, you know, what's not. A lot of it are kind of like some big companies, but there's always lessons to be learned. So I like that one. Just kind of helps. I read it every morning and it just gets me in the right mind frame for the day.
Get your juices flowing, right? You know, I do know Morning Brew, but I didn't realize they had a Marketing Brew. So I'm going to check that out as well. Well, those were great suggestions. I'm looking forward to it. So Stephen and Katie, before we leave, could you please let our listeners know the best way to get in touch with you?
Sure. So for me, of course, you find us both on the TSE website at tse.org. LinkedIn and Facebook. And then, of course, I think it's called X now, not Twitter. So formerly Twitter, I think, is what everyone says. So find me on Twitter there, too. I follow a lot of industry folks. And I like to, I think you say X out now. I guess you don't tweet out. You tweet out all the things you learn from the industry. And I try to connect as much as I can in that space. So, yeah, look for me in those platforms. Absolutely.
Excellent. Katie?
Yes, same. LinkedIn is typically where you see a lot of our most up-to-date information, and mine as well, under Katie Markert. Also, Facebook is still one of our biggest engaged platform with our members. I know some people have gone another direction, but it's still strong for us. We're also on Instagram, I would say you can find us on our podcast, Better by Association.
I know. We're going to have to be listening to that. So this was a terrific episode. I want to thank you both so much for your time and your openness and sharing. It really goes hand in hand with your motto of Better Together. And I can't wait to meet both of you in person. So we're going to have to make that happen in the not too distant future.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thanks, Christine, for having us. It's been a pleasure. We love Naylor and everything you guys do for our industry and our space. So it's just an honor to be asked. So thank you, Christine.
Well, we appreciate the kind words. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Association Advisor Podcast, brought to you by Naylor Association Solutions. If you'd like to access more resources to serve your association needs or join our newsletter, you can visit our website at naylor.com or just click the links in the show notes of this episode. Please be sure to follow us on your favorite podcast listening app, like Spotify, Apple, or wherever you listen to your podcasts, so you won't miss an episode. Also, I'd love to hear from my listeners directly. Feel free to email me at Christine, christine.shaw@naylor.com. Until next time, we at Naylor are wishing your association success.